So we want to begin this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we want to begin reading in verse 8. We've titled our message this morning, Good Tidings of Great Joy. And so this is a very familiar passage. This passage will be read throughout the world during this time of year as we consider the importance of the birth of Christ and how it is so important. And so we want to begin reading with verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Good tidings of great joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for another opportunity. We don't ever want to take it for granted, another opportunity to spend time with you, to spend time with your people, to assemble together, to think about the things that you have for us. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the birth, the virgin birth. We thank you for that as we look into your word that we will find good tidings of great joy. But Father, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart? And Lord, we know that there's many burdens that's being carried throughout the ones that are viewing and also the ones that are here. So we ask that you meet needs of every person, because we understand that if anything is done, that you have to do it. So we ask for your help this morning, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Glenn mentioned this morning in Sunday school, and I was going to mention it also as well, that today is Pearl Harbor Day, a day of remembering. And although things have changed, we know that as the Pearl Harbor was being attacked, there was a lot of panic. There was a lot of things unexpected, terror unexpected of what was taking place. And I could just imagine how the announcements were being made through the course of, I'm sure at that time, some type of radio, and how that Pearl Harbor was being attacked, and how that a lot of changes has taken place, a lot of changes as how word can get out of some type of an announcement or some type of some type of message. And now you, if there was a alert that was sent out, if each one of you had not turned your phones on silent or not turned off your notifications, that if there was an announcement that was to be proclaimed, whether it be an abduction or whether it be a missing person or something or even a storm, then all across the sanctuary, for those that have phones all across the sanctuary, there would be all these alerts going off. And we would look at our phones to see what was being announced. what kind of message was being proclaimed. If you were at home and there was a storm coming through there and you were watching something on TV, there might be a message, a breaking news, whether it be a storm or whether some public official like the president was going to make an announcement of some big news. I remember two distinct things that I remember down through the years. You probably remember different ones. Maybe you remember the same. But I remember where I was when the space shuttle exploded in air. I remember what I was doing, and it stood out. I remember what I was doing when the Twin Towers, where airplanes flew into the Twin Towers, and how just for a moment, everything stopped. And I remember going out throughout that day of the Twin Towers. I remember going out, and it was pure quiet in the air because all the airplanes had stopped flying. And those were big events, and those were big news. And those were things that literally at that point in our lives that everything seemed to stop, or at least slow down. In most cases, when an announcement is being made, there is some type of message that is being sent out because of some type of warning or some type of tragedy or potential tragedy. But the announcement that is being announced here in this passage of Scripture, the announcement that is being proclaimed, is not a tragedy, but it's good news. It's good news. It's life-changing news. It's news that literally changed the world. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Can you try to imagine this morning that this message was not proclaimed like we would see a message today, but yet this message was sent out to shepherds. Shepherds that started their day or their night or their shift, if you will. And they started their day like any other day. They knew that they had a job to do. They knew that there was a flock that would have to be looked after, have to be protected because of the dangers and all those things. And they knew what they were set out to do. But could you imagine when this announcement was proclaimed to them, how they must have felt? They were simply doing their job, and they started their day the same way as every other day. But yet now things would be different. Because when this announcement was being announced and being proclaimed, and it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, there must have been some type of confusion, at least to begin with. But yet it would be an announcement that would change their life. Because verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, this announcement would change their life. Because verse 15 says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. You see, there was a change in direction. There was a change in life. They simply wanted to see this thing which this announcement was made of. The end result was they changed, their life was changed. But as this message was being proclaimed, it makes mention, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The shepherds, as they were starting their day or night or as they started their jobs, as I mentioned before, they were doing the same thing that they had always done. The shepherds started out terrified. They started out terrified. But the fear that they started out with would be turned to joy. And that's why it's good news. Good news. Christmas is a time of joy, but for many, as we consider the Christmas season, we might think to ourselves, and we might think, there's not a lot of joy. There's a lot of sadness, especially during the Christmas time. In many cases, and I think you would probably agree, or maybe not, but in many cases, I have experienced it in my life. In many cases, Christmas, there's a lot of sadness because of death. There's a lot of sadness because of, I know that a girl that Darla and I went to school with, and I remember because she lived in our neighborhood, but her father passed away on Christmas Eve. So every single year she remembers the loss of the death of her dad. So Christmas potentially could be a time of sadness. It could be a time of depression. It could be a time of being overwhelmed because there's so many things to do. There's so many things that has to be done and so many things that has to be accomplished. For many businesses, it's extra work hours. There's very little time off. I know a person that works for a department store area and or used to work for them, and she told me, she said, when I worked there, no one got any time off from the beginning of November until January, and they had to work 7 days a week. So it's a very trying time. Christmas is a very trying time. Those picture-perfect moments that Hallmark portrays, in a lot of cases, are fantasies. They're fantasies. If they weren't fantasies, they wouldn't sell the products that they're selling. Many of you, and I'm not knocking Hallmark movies, some of you like them, some of you may not, but everything in most cases, the Hallmark movies all turn out in a happy ending. But Christmas is a very trying time. Christmas is a very challenging time. And a lot of times, very weary. But yet we read the verse in the Bible that says, I bring you good tidings with great joy. Great joy. How can there be great joy when Christmas is in many cases so stressful? How can this announcement change those things? Even today, how can this announcement bring those things that many carry with them, how can it bring great joy? How can it bring great joy? And it even goes on to say, which shall be to all people. All people. How can it be? Well, I challenge you this morning to do as the shepherds did, and that is to look up. The shepherds looked up. The angel which made this announcement says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings with great joy, which shall be to all people." And they made the great announcement that changed the lives of so many and continuing to change the lives, that says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." They had to look up. They had to look up. And there was good news that was being announced. Good news. The difficult situation in the world today is people is looking out and looking around and not looking up. They're looking out. They're looking at this and they're looking at that. And there's a lot of discouragement in life. There's a lot of discouragement that many are carrying with them and difficult things. This morning, I know I won't get finished with this message, so I may finish it Wednesday night, but I want to begin with good tidings of great joy. And the first thing I want to make mention is this. It's good news because it banished the fears. It banished the fear. Verse 10 says, "And the angel of the Lord said, Fear not, fear not." Because there was fear that was noticed. There was fear that was noticed. Even when the disciples were in the boat, and there's several places in the Bible that tells, fear not, fear not. And so it's good news because it banished the fears. Fear not. At the end of verse 9, we are told that the shepherds were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Think about the fear that they must have felt. Think about the fear that people deal with today. As they saw this angel and said, glory of the Lord shone around about them. And this announcement was being made. It says that they were sore afraid. What do you think that they might have been afraid of? Or what do you think they might have feared? Well, first, the sight of what was taking place, because there wasn't a lot of understanding. They would eventually understand. And it changed their life. But they weren't understanding what was taking place. And there was a fear because of the sight they saw. And I think about that. And they were fearing the future. About the possibilities of what might happen. Fearing the future. Do you know sometimes if we are so engulfed in this life and the things of the possibility, if we're not careful, we fear the future of the possibilities of the unknown and all those things. And sometimes it will cause us to be so afraid. Fearing the future, fearing the unknown, because they didn't at the time when the announcement began and seeing the sight, they didn't know what was going to be announced. Now they soon learned, fearing the unknown. Fearing the possibilities. There are individuals that fear the unknown and fear the possibilities. And our mind plays these ideas in our head. And it's almost like we know the outcome. Or think we know the outcome. You know, if there's an individual, or if you have the idea of, well, this might be my last so-and-so, or this might be my last... You know, eventually you're going to get it right. And then you say, well, I told you it was going to be. And that was after 50 times before you saying, it's going to be my last time. Fearing the unknown. Fearing what might happen. Fearing the what-ifs. Fearing of change. We fear change. We don't like change. As a general rule. Sometimes we won't change. But as a general rule, we struggle with change. Fear of what they saw. And this must have been a great fear. And think about life today. Think about the fears of life today. We all have them. We all deal with them. We all consider them. And we're afraid. Much like the shepherds. But this was good news. This news was nothing to fear. This was good news. And this is why. Because Jesus is the answer to the fears. Jesus is the answer to the fears. I shared this verse yesterday at the funeral of Sister Barbara. And I'll read that verse to you. And it's found in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why can the psalmist say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus is the answer to the fears. The answer to the fears. Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's good news. Good tidings of great joy. That brings us joy. It's not our surroundings that bring us joy, but we dig deep and we realize that our joy is in Jesus Christ. Our joy is in Him. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, our focus is not on what Hallmark projects, but our focus is on Jesus Christ. That's where our joy comes. Our joy is our focus on Jesus Christ. And I'll add one more verse to that I'm seeing right now. That is found in Hebrews 13:8. This says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. That's where our joy comes. So as the shepherds encountered this great announcement, this world-changing announcement, their fear changed from fear to joy. And that's why when we look at this verse that says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The joy is in Jesus Christ. The joy is in Him. Jesus is the one that can change fear to joy. Jesus is the one that changed the shepherds. The shepherds went to Him. It changed their direction, and they set everything aside to go see Jesus. And sometimes in life, we need to set everything aside and go to Jesus. set everything aside. That's what the shepherds did. There was great fear in the world, and there's great fear in this world, but the birth of Jesus changed the world. Changed the world. The announcement that was made was Jesus was born. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The shepherds desired to go to that place where Jesus was. And that's where the change took place. They desired to go to Jesus. They desired to go to Jesus. They knew by this announcement that there was joy in Jesus. They set everything aside, and the Bible says they went. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." They went. But when they went, they had to set everything aside, and sometimes we need to do that. Do you think they said, "Well, what about our flock?" Do you think they said, "Hey, maybe another shepherd that didn't want to go, that maybe they asked another shepherd, hey, can you take over our job?" I believe that they just simply went. And sometimes we don't need to worry about things, because the most important thing is Jesus. The most important thing is Jesus. Do you realize that we have the opportunity this day to go to Jesus? And we do that through prayer, and we do that through His Word. We have the opportunity to go to Jesus. We set everything aside, and we go to Jesus. And when we set everything aside, and yes, there's burdens. There's no doubt there's burdens. And many carry a lot of things. A lot of discouragements and all those things. But the Bible says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Our joy may not be in the holiday, but our joy is found in Jesus Christ. And when we put everything else above Him, I don't believe you'll ever find the joy that He has. Sometimes those two things are the two things that is most lacking in individuals' lives. But yet, they're right in front of us. And that is prayer and His Word. That's the most important things. It's communication with Him. There's been times, you know, there's been times I'm sure that you've done the same thing, but there's been times that I didn't pray. Yeah, I said, "Dear Lord," and I thanked Him, but yet I just told Him what was on my heart. There was a lady that I knew, a dear lady that I knew when we were at Manna, and she was dealing with a lot of problems, she told me one day, she said, "You know what?" She said, "I just need to go talk to Jesus. I just need to go talk to Him. And I just need to figure this out." But what she was doing was just simply unloading her heart that He already knows, unloading her heart and putting it all in the Lord's hands. And then we find Him speaking to us through His Word. So although Christmas season may be very busy, may be very trying, and we all have things, and there's discouragements, just like this girl that I was telling you about. There's not a Christmas that goes by that she don't think about her dad and all those things. But we need to do as the shepherd does. did, and let's look up. Look up and have that opportunity to pray and find Him in the Word. The shepherds wanted to experience that joy. They wanted to experience that joy, so they went. They went. Because they said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. And notice, they knew where the announcement came from, and they got direction, and it says, that which the Lord hath made unto us. They knew, because they received good news. It's good news. And number two, it's good tidings because it brings great joy. Their fears, and their fear, where fear reigns, there's no real joy. It didn't start out with joy because there was fear. And where fear reigns, you'll find no joy. Fear is the greatest enemy of joy. Fear is the greatest enemy of joy. The greatest joy that anyone can experience is knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the greatest joy that anyone can experience, is knowing Him. Only Jesus can bring joy in a person's heart. Only Jesus can bring joy in a person's heart. There's a passage that I refer to quite often because it just speaks to my heart. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison and beaten, and they were able to sing and praise God. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What we don't realize, and what we might not like, is the fact that everyone is watching us. Everyone is watching us. And what did they see? Do they see that joy? Not joy over our circumstances, not joy over situations, but do they see the joy that Jesus puts in our heart? Brother Jim and I were talking yesterday before the funeral, and I was telling him, we were talking about how much things cost. Cell phones, electric bills, all these things are high. And I was telling him that I went to the store where we have our phones, and we were talking to this lady, and I was asking the lady, I said, is there anything you can do with our bill and make it go down? And sure enough, she did. And actually lowered it right much. And we got to talking about, she said, well, do you own a business or anything like that? And I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor. And she said, well, you can't get a discount for that. But we got to talking. And by the time we got done, she said this. And I didn't do anything. But this is what she said. Before we were getting ready to get up and leave, and she said, I just want you to know that I'm an atheist. And I don't believe in God. But she said, if I was going to, I would want what you have. Did it mean I didn't have problems? Did it mean anything? We all carry problems. We all have difficulties. But we find our joy in Jesus Christ. That's where we find our joy. How did Paul and Silas sing? How did they praise? How did they, others saw, and people are watching. People are viewing. People are seeing. In Acts chapter 16, it says, and they sang praises, and they prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. Heard them. And something that spoke to me about this passage was this. We know that ultimately God freed them. But there was a soldier, there was a guard that was ultimately getting ready to commit suicide. Verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and seeing the prisoner's doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, do thyself no harm, for we are here. You never know. In our acquaintances, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, in our just errands that we run every day, you never know who's watching. And this prison guard was getting ready to commit suicide. And Paul says, do thyself no harm. And ultimately, and I'm just going to put it in this term, ultimately, the prison guard says, I want what you've got. I want what you've got. That's how important it is. During even the difficult times of Christmas and all those things that we mentioned in our introduction, that's how it's so important, because you never know how our testimony can change a life, that someone says, I want what you have. I want what you have. Verse 28 says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they give him that simple message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he had a changed life. Verse 34 says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, that's what makes it good tidings with great joy, is Jesus. Jesus. This announcement changed the shepherds' lives. And they took the fears and it brought joy. And I ask you a question this morning. Are you struggling with life? Are you struggling with life? My challenge this morning is to run to Jesus as the shepherds did and find that joy. Run to Jesus. Did the shepherds have problems afterwards? I'm sure they did, because they were people. You see, that's the reason that we can rejoice this morning and say it's good tidings of great joy, is because it's all about Jesus. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go and see the thing which come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. He makes a lot of things known. But what they had to do is they had to make a decision to go. They had to make a decision to go. life's problems, life's discouragements, life itself. You know, I think of Sister Barbara, and she struggled in a lot of ways. And her funeral was yesterday, and we'll never know some of the things that she dealt with. But she sure is rejoicing right now because of Jesus. Come to Jesus with life's difficulties, and you'll find joy in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, I just ask that you open hearts, and if you've spoken to hearts, I pray that we'll do as the shepherds and come and seek you. There's no problem too big. There's no problem too small. Help us to find joy in Jesus. Bless this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.